Hey, Verano.
You all right?
I'm so tired. I haven't slept in days.
Why?
Well, every time I go to sleep, the shitty magician is there in my dreams, and I don't understand his stupid fucking magic show.
A shitty magician in your dreams is keeping you awake?
More like a series of dreams.
All right, so tell me about the show, and maybe I can help you understand what you're seeing.
Okay, in the first act, I guess, I'm sitting in the audience when the shitty magician does the rabbit in the hat trick. Except instead of a rabbit in a hat, he was pulling two old white man puppets from a model of a yacht with the name Almost Heaven. The two puppets were coughing and wheezing like they were sick. Every time the magician referred to the yacht, he would wink at the audience while calling it a houseboat.
Okay, well, that reminds me of something I read in the news lately. Lindsey Graham, the Republican senator from South Carolina, caught COVID. When he was asked where he might have contracted the virus, he mentioned a gathering of legislators on Joe Manchin's houseboat.
Well, that sounds pretty innocuous to me.
It was meant to, but anyone who has ever been on a real houseboat will tell you that they think the Democratic senator from West Virginia's $700,000 yacht, Almost Famous, is the same thing when you're higher than Snoop Dogg on the International Space Station. So what happened in the next dream in this series?
Right, so in the second act, I'm the audience volunteer for the cut a person in half trick. Except he's cutting me off at the knee and there's nothing fake about it. It's like he's trying to maim me. While the trick is going on, a bunch of, snooty wealthy types, all of them wearing the colors of the universities that I attended, are rifling through my wallet. Every time I tried to complain and get out of the trick, the shitty magician would point to a group of people in plain business suits who, I mean, honestly, remind me of, I guess, bankers. And yell, "It's their fucking fault."
Sounds like you still have student loans you're paying off.
Yeah, so.
Well, these dreams make me think that your subconscious doesn't buy the vilification of the loan institutions when it comes to the issues related to the student debt bubble that have been in the news lately.
Don't get it.
Are you aware that tuition prices rose at double the rate of inflation in American colleges and universities for the past 35 years? I don't think more people might have been able to pay for a higher education without the help of banking institutions doing exactly what banking institutions do if the prices for that education weren't growing at such a rate. There would be no debt bubble and at least a much smaller bubble without greedy people at those institutions of higher learning setting prices above the rate of inflation.
So, if I get what you're saying, blaming the banks for the current student loan issues.
It's like blaming Visa because your favorite restaurant started charging you more money for your favorite dish.
Damn. Okay. So there is one more.
All right, go ahead, shoot.
So in the third act, I'm back in the audience watching a card trick. The volunteer this time is like a mix of the wealthy and banker type from the last dream. And there is a big stenciled AT&T spray painted on the back of his suit. He and the shitty magician are actively disagreeing about the card that the volunteer picked from the deck. The shitty magician insists his card is the two of box office diamonds, but the volunteer swears that their card is the jack of streaming service clubs. For some reason, the volunteer also has a Joker card sticking out of their back pocket, but the design of the card looks more like a Harlequin.
Even in your subconscious, comic book shit is never far from your mind.
Huh?
It seems you have questions about whether or not the new Suicide Squad movie is a flop.
I still don't get it.
How much money has the movie made in the box office?
I mean, I heard it made about 18 or 19 million. So
Oh, it doesn't matter what it made at the box office.
why not?
Why the fuck would AT&T execs give a shit about a one-time ticket price that they have to share with the venue when they could use movies like The Suicide Squad to set new subscriptions on HBO Max? Perpetual unsplit payments as are much more lucrative in the long run.
That means
Right. We won't know if the movie flopped or not, regardless of what we may read in the new spinning of the box office statistics, until the time when AT&T and or Warner Brothers decides to reveal how many new subscriptions occurred when the movie was released on HBO Max compared to how many subscriptions dropped after any free trial incentive periods end.
So, I mean, does that mean the pandemic is killing the movie theaters?
Yes and no. The landscape of the marketing is shifting. There's a little profit incentive for news organizations to explain the nuances of how the shifts are occurring to the great general public.
Oh my gosh, there's little profit organizations to explain nuances? Don't we fucking know it, dear listeners?
Basically, if it doesn't frighten people, piss people off, make people horny, or some DD combination of three, when it is not fit to print because it probably won't generate enough interest in the general public, no interest means no clicks. No click means no advertising revenue. And ad revenue makes the news media world go round and round and round, which is why most of what you read comes from pre-twisted toward some editorial purpose, like all of the stories that were the fodder for your dreams.
Stories.
There are exceptions that proves the rule.
Okay, but none of the dreams made me scared, angry, or horny. I was mostly just really annoyed. I don't think you get the shitty magician.
Well, and you would have a subconscious mind that is smarter than his conscious one. It's been long enough with this crap. Let's just start the show.
Welcome to Verano and Senseless Present DPIY. I am the Senseless Apprentice, the worst at what I do best, but I hope you enjoy it anyways. With me is my comedic partner in crime, and some of you may consider that statement more literally than I intended it to be, Mr. Verano.
Hey, hello, hello. Yes, I am a great stand-up comedic, only on this show. No one else knows me. Thank you, that is okay. Because if they did, they probably would hate me more than they do now.
Man.
So as we go into this, we're going to go with a recap.
All right, we're going to go straight into the issue. No catching up with current events today.
Do we have any? I'm sorry, I skipped, but I really, do we have any? I unfortunately haven't seen Suicide Squad. I would like to say I did, but no.
Spoiler-free review.
The shark got fat. I know that.
Huh?
The shark got fat on Suicide Squad. I know that.
Yeah, but he's pretty funny. Let's see. How did I describe it to someone? It's like Guardians of the Galaxy meets Rambo. You know?
I really need to watch this then. I really do. All I did really watch new for me was a newer episode of The Bad Batch on Disney Plus, and that's about it. So
I still got to catch up on Titans.
I need to get my HBO freaking back. I need to watch that.
What was the other thing? Oh, yeah. I watched we talked about this, but I think it was on the last. This is take two, everybody. But
hey, we didn't get to that just yet. Until that in 6 months.
I think we talked about the season, what was it, 7 of The Flash?
Yes, we did. You may not have liked it as much. I thought it was decent, but yeah, mediocre with the bad guys.
Yeah, so I went back and started watching again from the beginning, so that's where I've been distracted, is rewatching the parts of The Flash that I really enjoyed, like, you know, Zoom and Thawne and, you know, I don't know, the repercussions of Flashpoint never made sense. Cisco's brother would call him Miha, and then, you know, he's like so pissed off when the brother that he never talked to died in the Flashpoint.
Yes.
I don't know. It's his brother, you know, it's his, you know. He wanted to make amends. He never thought he'd never have the chance again. So I guess maybe I'm wrong.
The only other thing I have started watching is the latest season of Black Lightning.
Yeah.
Seasons.
The third season started with the family drama, and I was like, oh, man.
But it's good family drama. I just got to a nice plot twist, and someone supposedly is dead. That's all I got. Yes, someone supposedly is dead again.
Talking about, but they're not going to be dead. Come on.
They could be. It would make for a better episode.
Sucks for the listener. We're straying so far on the safe side of spoilers that it's like, yeah, someone's supposed to be dead, but you don't know who it is. We're not even going to give you a hint, but they're not dead.
No, I really won't. And correction, it is not listener. It is listeners. Thank you for, you know, that person in Kansas, those other three in Texas, and the one from Ohio. And then my cousin and my other friend. Thank you very much, guys. Please keep spreading the word.
Okay, so our issue today is Cable and Deadpool, number 22. Bosom Buddies, Part 3, Crack the Internet in Half. It's written by Fabian Nicieza. Pencils are by Patrick Zercher. Inks are by Udon's Meth, with a 3 in the E's position. Colors are by Gotham. The letters are by Visual Calligraphy's Corey Pettit, or Petit. I don't know if he pronounces it the French way. Cover arts, the pencils are by Patrick Zercher, the inks are by Meth, and the colors are by Rob Schwager.
I thought it was Schwager. I could be wrong.
Either way. Both ways.
The recap page is very familiar. Mainly because it's almost the same setup as the one to this previous issue. Only this time, instead of Power Man and Iron Fist, we have Cable and Deadpool holding pictures of other people we will see in the issue. Deadpool rather symbolically has his hands full with the bad girls, but he was trying to say how macho he was when he really wasn't. We'll get back to that. There's also very tiny little hearts all over two of the three pictures. I guess he isn't a fan of Black Mamba and her Heart's Desire powers.
Yeah, she didn't get...
Huh?
You didn't get any hearts.
No, no. Cable, on the other hand, is holding a single picture of the Heroes for Hire.
So, what did you think about that topical for the time joke about Cyclops? Because the Fox X-Men movies had only just begun. The original five for the movies, I guess. I wanted to call them the original five, but they weren't. They were only like two out of the original five. So, but yeah, the Cyclops was big, Wolverine was bigger. But what did you think about they saying they wanted Cyclops for the recap page instead of Cable?
Fuck Cyclops. We both know, and hopefully so our dear listeners know, I really hate him. I think he's just a freaking Boy Scout, just like Superman. Not a fan of always reading so much about Superman. Still don't think the movies are any good. Not since, who's the original Superman?
Reeves? God.
Thank you. After Christopher Reeves, yeah, I don't think they've done any good ones after that. I'm sure if we get more listeners, they would love to hate on me. You can follow me at MrVer.ano on Instagram. Not a fan of Superman or Cyclops. Screw Cyclops. Cable is a much better person, and I love his son.
I got to disagree on Man of Steel. I don't think anything. Most of the comic book movies aren't great cinema, so I'm not worried about that. I enjoy watching them, but I also, you know, enjoy watching cartoons. So I am not a refined palate when it comes to what I watch. And I really love the comic book movies, but Man of Steel is one of my favorites because of how ham-fisted the symbolism is. It is so wonderful. I mean, all you need is a cursory understanding of Christianity, and Man of Steel is chock full of what you go through in Sunday school.
Oh, you paid attention in Sunday school? I yelled at by the teachers.
What was it? Fucking like 20-something years of it.
Yeah. Well, as we should keep on our agenda.
So, anyways, Deadpool and the Bad Girls had been hired to steal the Dominus objective. It's a blah, blah, blah that acts like a thing that yada, yada, yada. Who the fuck cares? It turns out Deadpool's buddy Weasel had already stolen the device, proving himself to be a trustworthy freelance IT guy. And then he attached it to the servers of the Rand Meacham Corporation that he had been hired to clean. Oh, what a mensch. When Luke Cage and Danny Rand were rather violently opposed to him having done this, Weasel and Cable took turns explaining that the Dominus objective is basically a remote backdoor into the entirety of any server it is attached to.
Yes, which is why, as pathetic as Weasel tried to seem, and he does, Deadpool has little sympathy when the authorities came for him. He tried to use the excuse that he attached the objective to the Rand Meacham servers just to see what it could do. If he had been able to pull it off, then the arms dealer buddy of Deadpool's would have had access to every research and development file Rand Meacham had ever produced.
So, like, he could produce, he could make some pretty crazy guns that only he could sell, you know? And only Danny Rand would know if anything, that anything had been taken from anything. So, Weasel's going away for a while, but we will see him again before too long. He does pop up, and I think it's in an issue with Taskmaster, too, so that'll be fun. While everyone had been busy fighting over Weasel's actions, however, the Cat had been busy stealing that which Weasel had already stolen, the Dominus objective, but the Cat was doing it for the Black Box.
Which leads us into the issue proper, where Shen Kuei had just attached the objective to the mysterious information broker who has employed him. The Black Cat is generally discomforted by what the Black Box is saying as they hint toward an identity reveal that won't occur until the next issue. Yes, we still won't tell you who it is. Basically, the objective attached to him, the Black Box has access to enough of the internet to concern a morally ambiguous character like the Cat when it comes to privacy issues.
Seriously, the dude makes a living taking things that aren't his and selling them to covetous people. He ignores people's physical privacy and then acts like he's so concerned about their electronic privacy. He's easily bought off, though, as he writes off his concerns by reminding himself that he has already been paid. Cable and Deadpool, meanwhile, are sparring on Providence. Cable is explaining the Dominus objective again, and at this point, it's really hard not to think that they wouldn't have to explain this fucking thing so much if maybe Fabian had come up with a better MacGuffin. Cable and Deadpool finish sparring, with Deadpool having the upper hand after a sweet kick to the face, which happens right at the same time that he actually understands what Cable is explaining to him about the Dominus objective. But Cable's fragile ego can't handle that being the end of the sparring. So when Deadpool bows respectfully to end the sparring session, Cable elbows him with his metal arm in the back of the fucking head like a cheap child.
Irene Merriweather comes in, and she and Cable discuss the after effects of the battle and resolution of the last issue. Cable had left a jet with future tech in the hands of Rand Meacham Corporation, and he is rather nonchalant about the possibility that they might reverse engineer it. In his opinion, the gains they might make would be for the greater good of the world. Cable had also filed a flight plan to the place where he suspects the Cat took the Dominus objective. Irene finds this confusing, as the person who now has the objective could simply access and plainly laid out electronic file trail to see him coming.
Cable says he wants the person to know they're coming, because by that time, he and Deadpool will have already teleported there. Meanwhile, in New Delhi, India, the Black Box is talking to his lieutenants. Reeve, quote, mercenary blade artist, unquote, who looks kind of like a half-assed copy of the DC Comics character Katana, you know, with, you know, her sword kind of glowing and that being all that she's really got. And the other one is Makeshift, kind of like a D-list female version of Forge or the Fixer. And I say D-list because these are both clones, as Deadpool killed the originals in an earlier title. I think I read that comic, actually, and it's like an issue zero to his 1997 storyline, and basically in that, he just fucking clears house on a bunch of villains that nobody was going to use for, nobody had any plans for, and they're just like, yeah, just fucking kill him. Have Deadpool kill him to establish his cred. And so that's what these are, is they're two people that he killed already, and they're just, you know, back. Guess why?
Deadpool takes on the riffraff as Cable sets off after their boss, announcing from the onset that he knows who is behind the black box persona. Just a dick move because we still won't get to tell you until the next issue. However, there is no love lost between the two as Cable states the black box betrayed him, just as Deadpool kills the clones again, and Black Box fires electronic cables into Deadpool and Cable's brains in order to pull them into his mind. Matrix style.
Like, seriously, it's exactly like that. Like, just fucking, oh, this is how we get people into an electronic mindscape. Big jacks into their brain. No brain damage whatsoever. To Deadpool, being effectively pulled into the internet of 2005 is a sensory overload. But to the relatively recently depowered Cable, who was a telepath who had finally had access to his full powers and was pretty much reading the minds of the world because it was shouting at him, this experience is extremely familiar. Meanwhile, the bad girls are still haphazardly chasing the Dominus objective by consistently being one step behind Cable and Deadpool. They're fighting the cat right now, but they're surprised when the cat is unaffected by their ace in the hole, Black Mamba's greatest desire powers. He says he is already living his heart's desire. I fucking can't stand this guy now. I liked it before when it was just like a running joke when Deadpool would hear about him and want to see the tattoo and be like, so cool. But personally, I think his heart's desire of being an uninteresting Felicia Hardy. For those who don't know, that's, you know, Spider-Man, sometimes antagonist, sometimes lover, the Black Cat.
When they drew her in the comic, in the show.
Yeah. Yeah, the cat is kind of like he's like a male Felicia Hardy that generates no interest. And that's probably at least a part of why this title didn't succeed at making him a bigger name.
And with that reveal, the cat convinces the bad girls to talk rather than fight and explains that they are on a foolish mission. He tells them that because he is such an amazing thief, he won't work unless he has deemed the challenge of the job suitable for him. To that end, he didn't just accept the Black Box's commission to steal the Dominus objective. He also convinced a second benefactor to hire his competition for the job, Deadpool and the bad girls. Copy, bastard.
Back in New Delhi, the Black Box, who appears as a giant head of digital information as compared to Cable's relatively tiny body floating in internet stew, still thinks he has the upper hand. However, the scene cut and dialogue between Cable and the Black Box imply that Cable is the cat's second benefactor. Like, they strongly imply it without actually saying it because, you know, they don't want Deadpool to be able to get it yet. So basically, Cable has been 10 steps ahead of everyone else involved in this story from the very beginning. He's just so super smart, and this is even without his telepathy to sort of let him know what everybody's thinking at all times, except for Deadpool, because his mind's all wily like that. As Cable gains the upper hand and defeats the Black Box in both the internet and the real world, Deadpool is once again attacked by the two women he had literally just killed for the second time. So Deadpool kills them again.
And as Cable destroys the Black Box armor, which is empty, just like the Time Warpath punched the head off of Black Box armor in the earlier issue of this title, Deadpool is confused. Go figure. Until someone speaks off-panel, causing him to shout in surprise,
"No! It can't be you! You're dead!"
Which really should not be a surprise, as Deadpool whole bee fight was meant to establish a cloning conspiracy. But anyways, now's the time to discuss
favorite art. What was your favorite?
My favorite art, trying to think, what was my favorite art? I actually liked the intro. Them just kind of holding their pictures and, you know, Deadpool fawning over the bad girls. I don't know. I think it was just well drawn. It gives a lot of character in there. So it just kind of sets the tone of how things are going to go.
Yeah, my favorite was the fight between or the sparring between Cable and Deadpool, because it opens with a picture where they're both sort of doing. I mean, it's so reminiscent of Street Fighter. Cable's wearing sort of white and blue. Deadpool's wearing a red gi with a black belt. Looks like you know, kind of like Ken. Like it's so Street Fighter to me, and it makes like even the kick poses that they're doing with the jump kicks at each other that obviously aren't going to connect, because if you're looking at perspective in the picture, there's no way they're moving towards each other. It's all posturing kicks, but like it's just a cool image of those two fighting.
Okay. Favorite part of the story?
I think when they first get to the black box and the two lieutenants and Deadpool's starting to fight with them, there's just a joke that Deadpool tells where it really tells you kind of how you're supposed to see Deadpool as, you know, kind of ridiculous, kind of silly, but not as dumb as people think he is. Where he's talking about like them giving him acid reflux, and he's like, "Relief, thy name is Deadpool, Deadpool," and they're like, "Did you just spell your name wrong?" And he goes, "No, there's only 7 letters in Rolaids." And he's like, "Not dumb. He just makes dumb jokes."
Yeah,
I know.
For me, I would say favorite part has got to be him fighting the clones.
Yeah.
Just him kind of just having his fun with it. But I mean, it's made me laugh. It's like, he just keeps going and going. They're just all pissed at him. He's like, "You've killed me. You've killed me." He's like, "Yeah." Just keep doing it and again.
Apologetic about it. He's like, "Yeah, it's because you suck."
Yeah.
So it is like, it is a pretty cool part.
The issue MVP.
My favorite is Deadpool.
All right, for me, I'm about to agree the same. Yeah. Hey, it's just he's trying to understand. He's, I don't know, he makes it funny. His kind of like goofiness overall of either semi knowing what's going on and just trying to kill people because that's all he really wants to do just blends it well.
Yeah.
My shittiest character is probably this time going to be Black Box. I mean, Black Cat.
Damn it. I think we're in agreement on this one. You could tell by my commentary when we were talking about him. I was not a fan of Shenkui in this issue.
No, I mean, him just being a cocky bastard, being like, "Well, I only take this job because I think it's worth my effort, and I needed opponents because otherwise it's boring." It's like, "Ah, you son of a bitch."
But also, it's my heart's desire to be the best thief in the world. Like, your heart's desire is to take things that are rightfully someone else's shit and give them to someone else because you can. You're a dick.
Yes, he is. Very well said.
And he's not even, like, I'd be okay with it if he was doing it like Robin Hood style, but he's not. He's just making himself richer by stealing for rich people. He's a dick.
Yeah, he is.
So,
listeners who are still with us.
What?
I said, for those listeners who are still with us.
Yeah, so this time around, we're planning to do something a little different and respond to some listener questions.
So, someone actually sent us a question or two to our socials?
Yeah, sure. Anyways, our first question comes from listener Totally Real But Anonymous via email. They ask, why do your episodes seem to come out at random instead of on a set day?
All right, first of all, between work schedules and families, the two of us have to find mutual time to write, record, and release the show.
The slightest interruption in podcast plans can push everything back for a week at a time.
Yes, for example, this week with an episode fully recorded, Someone decided that opening closing segments of the show needed rewrites. And the first chance our work schedules would allow subsequent recording has made it so we haven't released an episode in almost over a month.
So, yeah, that shit happens. But people can follow our socials. Verano already said his, but it bears repeating.
Yes, Mr. Verano. Sorry. At Mr. Ver.ano for IG.
Yeah. And mine is dpiy.pod.sa. I changed it, but that'll be, these will both be in the episode description. You could also send us emails at senselessapprenticecog@gmail.com. You know why I set it up with that COG, man?
Why?
I was listening to an episode of another podcast, the New Days podcast, and they were interviewing Dawkins, the Street Profits. And one of those guys was talking about how they put COG at the end of their thing and how it made it, what it meant was a curse of greatness. And then when I put it on the end of mine, it just looked like I said, senseless apprentice cog, like a machine. I was like, man, this is so not as cool as that Street Profit guy.
No, it doesn't sound as great. It doesn't. You're really trying.
That's why I changed it. That's why it's dpiy.pod.sa. And you know, the email and the socials are included in every episode description. And you can follow us on your preferred listening app to make sure you don't miss a minute of our dulcet voices and smooth delivery.
Yes. Smooth as yours. Hysterically weird as mine.
Yeah. So our second question comes from Concocted Personage via Grindr.
Whoa, wait, what?
Don't worry about it. Anyway, they ask, every time I go to get my oil changed, they try to sell me a bunch of expensive shit I don't know that I actually need. How can I change the oil myself and avoid the sales pitches?
Okay, fuck no. You've tried this topic twice already and it went over like a lead balloon both times. Next question.
But.
Next question.
Okay. All right. Our last question comes from Fabricated Female via MySpace.
Why the hell did you set up your social media profiles? Anyway, anywhere that actually is useful, like TikTok?
Well, I mean, I was thinking of setting up a Parler profile.
We're never going to expand our listener base at this rate. Anyways, what's with the MySpace girls question? I didn't even know that thing still existed.
All right, so Fabricated Female writes, my parents went away for the weekend and I had a party at their house. I was able to clean everything up except for some rings that have stained into their antique coffee table. How do I fix the table before they get home?
Okay, first of all, you should have your friends use coasters.
Thanks, Mom.
Second, why the fuck would you send us a time-sensitive question? You must like expecting sloths and snails to hurry up. Anyway, to fix the table, you should go to your local hardware store and pick up sandpaper and varnish. Sand the affected areas until it is smooth and the rings are gone. Then clean the dust and let it dry. Once that is done, reapply varnish so it looks like you never fucked up the table in the first place.
Or, and hear me out here, you could head your parents off at the pass and take them out for dinner, pay for their drinks and get them fucking hammered, then convince them they made the stains while they were drunk when they wake up the next day with hangovers.
Okay, depending on the parents and how drunk they are. Yeah, that sounds like it could work. They could be lightweights.
Damn right.